Well, good morning, everybody. Did you know you were created in the image of God? Every one of you. Actually, every human that's ever lived is created with that same value. And we were created with that value for one specific reason. And that is so that we could relate to the one who created us. That's what makes us different from every other created thing on earth. We were created in God's image so we could relate with God. You were given ears and eyes and senses and emotions so he could guide you, so he could comfort you, so he could tell you what to do with your life, so he could tell you what to do this afternoon. Jesus told a variety of stories to emphasize God's desire to speak with us, to know you personally. In John 10, he told his followers they would know his voice. They would be so familiar with his voice that if they heard anything else, they would be able to distinguish it and say, no, that's not the Lord. This is the Lord. Every day, all day, God is looking to guide you. He's looking to guide you into the most adventurous life possible. I think it's also important to recognize that this gift of being able to hear from God, it's not just for you personally, okay? He's giving you the ability to hear so you can share what you're hearing with her. And he's given you guys the ability as a couple to hear so you can share with your work. And he's giving you the ability to hear God's guiding so you can guide others. That's what makes this thing of being a Christian this exponential opportunity, this exponential blessing. God's whole purpose is to create life. To create life and to restore life to anything that's dead and dying, right? So what's the purpose of the enemy? The exact opposite of that. The whole purpose, the whole agenda of the enemy is to kill whatever the Creator creates. And the main way he does that is to try to cut off our relationship with God. Think about it with the tree. If you cut a branch off a tree, it doesn't matter how nice that branch looks lying on the ground. How pretty the leaves are. Could even have a big apple on it. It's dead. The enemy knows that if he can break your connection with God, the source of all life, everything else takes care of itself. Jesus compared himself with the enemy in this way. This is one of those contrasting statements of Jesus. Jesus once said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." Just a word on the word. The word pasture means growth. They will come in, they will go out, and they will grow. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and life to the full. That is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. We are not, Sue talked about it last week, we're not just supposed to like kind of get by. People should know Christians as the most alive, full, excited, energetic, risk-taking people on earth. And so the key to discovering the life you've always wanted is to listen for the guidance of the one who created your ears in the first place. We're in week 2, by the way, of a sermon series entitled The Life You've Always Wanted, and we took that from a book by John Ortberg under that title. Have some of you read this book, The Life You've Always Wanted? I highly encourage it. It's probably the most confessional book I've ever read, definitely by a pastor. I mean, the whole book, he's just like confessing these delightful little secrets about his life that are kind of embarrassing anyway. It's awesome. So today we're going to talk about what I would call 5 common barriers that keep us from hearing God. I feel like what I want to do here is expose a little bit of the enemies strategy, okay? This word that Catherine had this morning about a labyrinth and this maze that we feel like we're caught in life, it's huge. I think exactly like Catherine said, the sense is that God wants to shortcut some of us straight out of the maze this morning. It's like the enemy has us trapped in this maze and we're freaked out like, oh, I'm never going to get out of this. I'm totally stuck. And meanwhile, God is there with like a bulldozer, just plowing the way for us to come out of this maze. So let's pray and then we'll jump into this. God, you created us to hear you. That is what is normal. That is what is natural. And for a bunch of reasons, we have a hard time with that. And so, God, I ask that today you would help us to cut through the maze, to cut through the barriers that would keep us from hearing you. God, I thank you that the way you speak to me, hopefully the way you speak to everyone here, is you delightfully correct us and guide us into truth. You kindly and mercifully redirect our thinking. And so we invite you to do that this morning. God, help us to hear from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 5 quick barriers to hearing from God. The first, not asking. Might seem kind of simple, right? One of the main reasons we don't hear anything from God is we don't ask. We can learn a lot from children here, right? Kids have no problem asking for things, right? Can I have chocolate milk? Can I have a new pair of sneakers? Can I have some help with this ridiculous math problem? Can I have a ride over to my friend's house? I mean, kids have no problem. Can you push me on the swing? Can you color with me? That is normal and natural. That is how it should be with us and God. It doesn't have to be greedy. Somewhere along the line, I think a lot of us picked up this thing of like, I don't want to ask anything from God except strength to endure. No. Ask God. If you read the stories in the Gospels, you'll see countless times where people were just asking God for stuff over and over. And the Christian life begins with responding to God simply by asking. Like the people we see all throughout the Gospels. Will you help me? God, will you help me? Will you forgive me? Will you love me? If you read the Gospels, those are the 3 questions you'll see over and over. Will you love me? Will you help me? Will you forgive me? And what did Jesus say every time? Every time he said yes. If you've never asked God for anything, you're probably not a believer. No shame in that. If that's you, you are so in the right place today. I don't know how you got here, but God has a plan for your life, and that's not just a sweet thing to say. That's the truth. I want to pray into that right now. If there's anyone, we don't make you, we don't do anything weird. We don't make you, we don't expose you. But if there's someone here in this room, would you all pray with me? You know who you are. If there's anyone here who's not even really started to ever talk with God, you've never really asked God for help. You've never asked God to love you or to forgive you. I want to pray for you. God, would you speak your words to this person right now. Show them your love and your comfort. Give them courage, God, to trust you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's in this initial ask, this first ask of God, help, help me, I'm a mess, that we start the Christian life. But it's in the ongoing asking, it's in the everyday asking, that's what distinguishes us from a fan of Jesus to a real follower of Jesus. You know, Jesus had plenty of fans who would come because he could make fish out of air. And he healed a lot of people, which was cool. But only the people who followed him were every day asking him, what should I do with this mess? Where should I go here? How should I deal with this? Those are followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus are guided all day, every day, by asking for help. Jesus said in his famous Sermon on the Mount, he said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. He said, if you, even though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to you if you ask for him? That's another reason we don't ask. We're terrified at what God will give us. But he's always going to give us something good. The Apostle James wrote, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God for help. The author of the book of the letter to the Hebrews said, have boldness, have confidence to come to God whenever you need help. One of the reasons we don't ask God is we're afraid of what he's going to do, or we feel like, what's the point? I've already asked a bazillion times. Is it going to make any difference? The thing about asking, or the thing about faith, is it's kind of like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it's going to atrophy. But if you keep exercising it, it grows. So I want to encourage you today, start asking God for things. And start with little things, baby asks, okay? Like baby steps, you know? God, help me to make it through this sermon, please, God, you know? Ask for help, just little stuff. Give me some creative thing to encourage my wife with today. God, would you help me to get home safe? And then the next thing you know, you start seeing, he's actually doing these things for me. It redirects your attention. Anyway, the first one is asking. Maybe some of you are talking to God, you're asking, but you're not hearing anything. Second barrier is what we might call confused listening. This is, by the way, 2 in 1, because I didn't want to have 6 points. That's just too many. Confused listening. Confused listening happens when either we're not taking the time to listen, or what we hear is confusing to us, right? So first, let's address the impatience factor. God can speak to you anytime, anywhere, through anything. A lot of times when I hear something from God, it's like a couple hours after I was praying, a couple days after I was praying, months, years. But he wants us to be asking because he wants relationship. It takes time to build relationship. It takes time to sit and wait and listen. This is why David Mahagan gets up at 5 a.m. and he just sits and he listens for the voice of his Father in heaven. Benedicta Early will sit sometimes for hours in the middle of the day just waiting on God. My wife, Mercy, sits in this chair by the window, and she just looks outside and listens and waits for God. Everybody has a different way, but it takes time. It takes slowing down. And the more we wait on God, the more familiar we become with the voice of the Father, the voice of Jesus, and the voice of the Spirit. The night before Jesus was murdered, he said the most amazing thing to his disciples. Imagine, they had 3 years with him, and right before he leaves, he said, look, I'm going to leave, but trust me, it's going to be better for you. And you can only imagine them saying, how could anything be better than having you here? He said, the Spirit is coming who will be your guide, 24/7 guide, your comforter, your counselor, who guides you into all truth. Inaudibly, mostly, quietly, briefly, usually very briefly. It takes me 10,000 words to do what God can do in one. He speaks from his Spirit to your spirit. So we need to listen. Once we start listening, we need to be careful to take everything captive. You know, I don't know much about baseball, but I do know that you can't just swing at everything that comes your way, right? You have to wait and watch. Is this one right? Is this one right? Is that true? That is true, right? And so it is with God. We need to listen, to take every thought and look at it and say, is this from the Lord? And this is one of the ways you know. So the enemy, what he likes to do is have you ever heard anybody say, he doesn't tempt you with a $2 bill. He tries to tempt you with something that's very close to the truth. So while the Spirit brings conviction, the enemy brings condemnation. Conviction, I've said this before, but I think it's important for us to keep hearing it. Conviction is clear, specific. It affirms our identity. It brings hope. It brings courage to change into something good. Hey, Mike, the way you snapped at your kid this morning was not right. Tell him you're sorry. That is specific. Condemnation is vague. It's hopeless. Makes you feel horrible. There's never any clear way out of it. Instead of telling me specifically what to do with my kids, it just says, why are you such an idiot with your kids? Why are you such a failure? You're so unkind. You're so impatient. How can you call yourself a pastor if you can't even be kind and gentle to your own children? Have you heard that voice? Yes, you have. As charismatics, which just basically means people believe that everything that happened in the first church, the healing, the prophetic, can happen now. The empowering presence of the Spirit can happen now. As charismatics, we get pretty excited about hearing from God, don't we? We get real excited about hearing from God and speaking from God, and we should. But one thing we must do as Christians is be sure that we are continually growing in our capacity to know truth through the Scriptures. So as we know the Scriptures, then we have a confidence that what we're hearing from God is in line with the Scriptures or not. So that's the third one. The third barrier to hearing from God is what I call truth anemia, or a truth discrepancy, you might say. It's like our minds are like the thing you put the spaghetti in, when the colander. We just, for some reason, we just slowly forget the truth. And we have the Scriptures as this guidebook to continually lead us into truth. I'm concerned that most of us are living in some kind of truth anemia. And the best way to grow in truth is to soak in the Scriptures, to be in it often, to be in it deep, to be in it day after day, year after year, decade after decade. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. It's 150 verses, and every one of those verses is about the psalmist's love for the Scriptures. So if you've lost love for the Scriptures, read through Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Lamp, meaning it's like a headlamp to guide my feet. What's the next step? What am I supposed to say? Where am I supposed to go this afternoon? And a light, a long range, like massive spotlight to the future. Where are we supposed to go as a family? Where are we supposed to go as a church? Where's my business supposed to go? Where's this organization I'm leading supposed to go? A lot of times we're not in the scriptures and then we're like, I can't hear God. I just can't hear God at all. I wrestle with this too. There's a lot of other things that can be a lot more fun to read than the Bible sometimes. But God honors it when we get into it. He honors that, and he will speak to us. The 66 books of the Bible, they are the words of women and men who heard something from God that wasn't just for them. It was for the people around them. And here we are, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years later, reading these stories and being shaped by them. Somehow the Bible, it's like as we read it, the Bible reads our lives. No other book is going to do that for you. Okay, so maybe you're good on everything we've talked about. You're boldly asking God for guidance. You take the time to listen. You're in the scriptures and you're still like, yeah, all that's good, but I'm just not hearing much from the Lord. Your problem, the fourth barrier to hearing from God, I'm calling living outside the camp. If you were an Israelite from the original tribe of God's followers, the ultimate curse would have been to be pushed outside and rejected from the camp. Because the camp was the place where you had protection. It was the place where you had food. It was the place where you had family and friends. You had guidance. You had wisdom. You had everything you needed. You had the parties. To be cut off from the camp would basically mean physical, emotional, spiritual death, really. In today's family of God, unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians leaving the Christian community because they are so rejected. Either they personally have picked up on something that never actually happened, or we have horribly wounded people as Christians. We need to own up to that and apologize and go after some of these people. You know, one of the biggest growing demographics is not the unchurched, it's the de-churched. It's people who were a part of a church and got kicked out for reasons, in a lot of cases, that all of us should have been kicked out for. The thing is, we were created to live inside the camp, so to speak. We were created to live in a deep, authentic relationship with others that helps us find God. Now, you know, in some ways you could be like, what are you talking about? We're all sitting here in church. What else do you want? Right? Well, the deal is that just being in a church, just belonging to a church, doesn't equate to deep, authentic, risk-taking, raw relationship. It just doesn't. Small group doesn't either. Everybody should be in a small group because that's a starting place. But I don't know about you guys. I have 2, maybe 4 friends who, and that's it, that I can tell anything. I tell the most ridiculous things to them. And it's not all the same things, you know. Oh gosh, I did this, the 3 classic sins. It's not like that. I tell them, look, this is this really warped way I've been thinking lately. Help me. I am really struggling with fear about this happening in the future. I feel incredibly insecure about this. I am really jealous about this. And they hold the space for me. And you know, part of the reason I can talk to these guys like that is they do the same thing back to me. If they were like, oh, that's really horrible that you're like that, you better believe I'm going to find some new friends. We all need a place where we can really open up with people and we can ask for help. God's put us together. Mercy and I talk about Harrisonburg, this little 81 town. Why does God have us here? You know? Have you ever wondered that? Why does God have you here in this moment in time? There's some kind of specific creative purpose He has in mind for you here, and the people you're around right now are a part of that. We need each other. So, Bev, would you come up here? I have asked Bev Sensabaugh, who you all know, give Bev a big round of applause. Okay, Bev was asking me for a chance to speak in the mic, right, Bev? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing around. So, Bev, if you don't know Beverly, Beverly is our administrative assistant here at the church and an incredible keyboardist. And Bev, I asked Bev to share a little testimony about her experience in growing as a believer in one specific area and in part through being a part of the church. So just share a little bit about what you've been asking God for and how you've grown through that.
Well, for many years, I've just been asking the Lord to just help me to be able to play prophetically, which for me is just to be able to give God's heart to the people, to be able to, just like a love song. I want to be able to for the people, you people, and the people here, just to be able to know the Father's heart, to have healing, to have His love, just to experience God in a new way that only He can do. I mean, we can talk and talk and talk and talk, but until the Lord does it, it's really nothing. So that's been the cry of my heart. I just want my music to be able to touch someone's heart. And it's not me. It's only by the grace of God, because believe me, it is not me. So I've just been asking the Lord for a very long time, probably 20 years or so. I just want to be able to play prophetically. I want to be able to play what you want me to play. So through lots of practice, tears, and lots of people praying for me. I mean, I would ask in staff meeting, or I'd ask for in other meetings, I'd just ask for people to pray. And through their encouragement and just knowing that they had my back, so to speak, if you make a mistake, you make a mistake, and it's no big deal. And sometimes I think we get caught up so much in doing it right. We're so afraid to do it wrong that we don't even try. So the Lord is just, I don't know how, but yeah. I just can, and I'm just so very grateful.
That's good. So one other thing. So I heard there was one evening where you came here for a healing night and got to play.
Yeah.
Well, can you explain that night to us?
I've played for healing nights a couple nights, and you try to practice, but you can't because it just doesn't work. So I was just playing, just whatever I feel the Lord wants me to do. Sometimes I hold space, and sometimes I just do what I think, praying that it's working, so to speak. And so the Lord just met, and He just came. So I'm just really grateful.
So healing nights is a monthly service we have the first Monday of each month. Did you, prior to that time, usually use like music or songs or anything before that?
No, because I hadn't played for healing nights. Because for me, healing nights, you don't use music.
But
normally, I am a music person.
Normally,
I will always have music. Yes, I always have music.
Right.
But you come
to healing nights and you're like, not going to use music.
No, I won't use music. I just play what the Lord hopefully has for the people out there.
So see, there's something in asking God, practicing, asking people to pray for you, and then just putting yourself out there, right? In a risky, in a safe but risky setting, that the church helped provide for you, right, which would anyone say has resulted in something positive for you? Bev's keyboard playing. It has, like it or not. Like when we have our closing services and Bev is playing and we're trying to pray for people, I'm just like, let's just listen to that for a while. All right, thank you, Bev.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. So now Bev is going to play some beautiful keys, right? Worship team, y'all can come up here. This is the fifth and final barrier, and for whatever reason, it is the one I'm the most excited about talking about right now, is sin. Here's the thing. One of the most overlooked and underappreciated barriers to hearing from God is simply sin. We all sin. Some of you were sinning last night or this morning or on your way to church, or you're sinning right now. That's just it, you know? The problem is sin interrupts our relationship with God. It messes with our ability to hear from God. And chronic sins, especially like the seven sins, you know, mentioned like pride, greed, and gluttony. The problem with these, they're especially dangerous because they erode our ability to hear from God. They erode our senses. That's what made leprosy such a terrible thing, is you couldn't feel anymore. Somebody would chop your hand off and you didn't even know it happened. The more we sin, the harder it is to hear God's guidance. David, the great songwriter who became king, wrote in his prayer book, he said, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. That is hard to hear. Sins like pride cause God to actively resist us. 22 times in the Bible, that statement is made about pride specifically. He goes against those who are prideful. The good news, here's the good news. The good news is God is happy and ready and waiting to forgive us. He's just waiting for us to be like, I shouldn't keep, he's like, you're forgiven. The prodigal son is on his way back to his father, and the prodigal son's like, Daddy, I'm sorry, I should have, hey, let's have a party. He interrupts him. Mid-apology, he interrupts him. God's just looking for like the littlest turn, and he's like, I got you, I see, you're sorry. Because God came to earth not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's why God came to earth as Jesus. And we access forgiveness through confession. In some sense, it's not sin itself that's so destructive. It's our denial, our this ridiculous tendency we have to pretend we're not sinning, which further messes up our relationship with God. We pretend everything's okay when it's so not okay. And one of the greatest barriers or defense mechanisms of the enemy is to tell you that if you'll just keep it down a little longer, if you'll just hide it a little more, mistakes, our sins, our fears, the lies we believe, if you'll just kind of keep it back just a little more, somehow it doesn't exist. You know, the only thing that thrives in the dark, I'm not talking spiritual now, the only physical thing that thrives in the dark, bats. Actually, they have to come outside eventually. Mold is the only thing that thrives in the dark. Everything else needs light. Everything you want to grow, it needs light. It's only when things are in the dark that they can have a hold on us. And the only way we're going to get free from junk in our lives is to expose ourselves Now, again, you don't do that. I don't stand up here and tell you guys the real nitty-gritty of my life, but I do to a few people, and I would encourage you too. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. So you may be healed. You know, we need a radically different perspective on confession. If we knew what was available to us on the other side of this kind of real, authentic, raw openness, if we knew the lightheartedness, the freedom, the lack of fear of anybody or anything that was available to us, if we would just confess, we would be doing a lot more of it. Living without secrets, voluntarily exposing hidden, chronic, unconfessed sin, it opens the way to incredible freedom. It's the exact opposite of what the enemy wants you to do. And it's only through our fear of God, developing a healthy, appropriate fear of God, that we will live without fear of anybody else. Only as we live with there's this like cycle. As we live with vulnerability before God, we can live more vulnerably with others. And as we live more vulnerably and open with others, somehow we go to God more free. There's this cycle. But confession only happens in the context of authentic community. That's why that is one of our top values here at the church. Our lives depend on it. But it's not only our lives. It's the world around us. We talked about these five different things here. Can you back up there? The more we can break through these barriers, like Catherine said, get outside of the maze of these barriers that keep us from hearing God, the more we'll be able to not only hear from God, to be guided by God for ourselves, but we'll be able to guide others who are wandering around like they're just lost. It's dangerous out there. Yesterday I was playing a game with my 8-year-old daughter, hide and seek with your eyes closed. This is dangerous. We had just finished breakfast and I was walking around and I got a handful of syrup from the plate. It's dangerous to be walking around unable to be guided by the Lord. And there are billions of people walking around that are like, somebody help me out here. So, as Bev plays here, just for a second, I want you to, if you would, just close your eyes for a second. I'm going to read lyrics from a song, let you meditate on these lyrics for a second, and then we're going to close with a big happy song, because once you confess, you can party. So this is a Stephanie Gretzinger song called Out of Hiding. If you would, just close your eyes and we're going to ask the Lord, God, would you run a highlighter through one of these words and one of these phrases for each person here? Come out of hiding. You're safe here with me. There's no need to cover what I already see. You've got your reasons, but I hold your peace. You've been on lockdown, and I hold the key. 'Cause I loved you before you knew it was love, and I saw it all, still I chose the cross. And you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now rid of the shackles, my victory's yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason to stand at a distance anymore. You're not far from home. No need to be frightened by intimacy. No, just throw off your fear and come running to me. Just meditate on that just for a minute. So maybe the Lord highlighted something to you, some little area he wants exposed. Just give it to him. God, I thank you that when we turn to you and we offer our whole selves just as we are, mistakes and all, that you are so quick to forgive us and restore intimacy. And so I pray that you would do that for everyone here right now. God, continue to give us a sensitivity, a heightened sensitivity to your Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name.